And we're back, and that was before the break. You heard the last song you heard was from White Cowell, Oklahoma, off of the new album Casa Diablo, and that was Sugar City. Before that, you heard Jim Bryson off of his new album Where the Bungalows Roam, and that was the song Fine Watch. Joining us now, as promised, is Kathleen Okacha, who's the executive director of the Kenya Orphans Rural Development Program. I believe she's also the founder. How are you today, Ms. Okacha?
I'm fine.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your organization?
Kenya Orphans Rural Development Program started off from local initiatives in 1996. And it was basically set up to address the issues of children who had been made vulnerable and orphaned by HIV/AIDS. Then, in 1996, back in Kenya, HIV/AIDS was a strange term. So we had an uphill task to make ourselves understood and also to make our work put in the forefront so that people could see the essence of the real value of addressing the plight of orphans and their caregivers. So that's what we do. And in doing that, we carry out early childhood daycare development centers in conjunction with the community, where children who are aged between 2 years and 8, sometimes 10 years, come for a day to play with each other, to have a meal or two, to have medical attention and also psychosocial support. And then they are prepared for formal entry into the normal government school system, which is primary one. Beyond that, we address also their caregivers. Now, here the caregivers could be the older sibling in the family of 8, 9, 10, 12 years, and the elder grandparents. Because you see, AIDS has actually debilitated the middle cadre, the caregiving cadre in the population pyramid. So you have the very, very elderly at the top and the very young at the base of that pyramid, with a huge wipeout in the middle. So these are the people that we address, the caregivers. And right now here, what I'm doing in Canada is to try and encourage the efforts of one of the groups here that has given itself to address the plight of older grandparents providing care to young children back home. And they are called the Ottawa Bukunjangavo Exchange Group.
One of the neat things about your organization is that we sort of, when we think of, at least often perhaps, and this is my bias, when we think of development and aid organizations, we think of ones that are sort of external to the country that provide assistance internally. But yours is indigenous. What sort of advantages and experiences do you think that is different because of that?
Now, the indigenous local initiatives come out of the heart. They come out of what you see around you day to day. You know the people, you know their problems, and you sort of go out to support their efforts in solving their own problems. You don't bring things from outside, because when you do that, the question of sustainability and acceptability of the initiatives becomes a problem. But the challenge is that you do not have the outside funding that you would need at least to put the program in place. So one has got to juggle with having no resources for startup to put up a product to send to the market for the outside international NGOs to see, or the government, and therefore probably try to convince them to come and support your initiative. And that takes a lot of resilience, it takes a lot of determination, but because you are seeing the problem that is around you, the problem that is facing the communities, I guess you are encouraged to go on.
Okay. And I think one of the other sort of neat things is that you're supporting the children and orphans and people before they entered the school system, sort of almost as an assistance to getting people ready so that they can be productive within the existing educational framework.
I cannot get you, please.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. My apologies. That one of the focus of your organization isn't so much to replace an existing government structure, but like, and that is the school system, but to prepare people so that they can work better within it.
Yes, that is it. Because when AIDS goes inside a community, it actually kills. It kills the health of the community, the spirit of the community, so that people are left in apathy. Even if big government initiatives are put in place before people are given psychosocial support to come out of that trauma, to come out of that stress, their response using whatever is available is going to be very, very minimal and might not be as successful as it would be if they were nurtured lovingly from a loving forum of day-to-day interaction to be able to rise up to the challenge. So what one has got to do is to whet the appetite of the sufferers, of the people who are affected, to rise up to the challenge. And I think maybe that is one of the biggest scores that Kenya Orphans Through Development Program has had. We have helped people walk through their journeys of life to a stage where they say, all right, this is happening to us, but we have to forget the past and rise up to this new challenge of taking care of the children around us and also responding to other issues, impacts that HIV/AIDS brings inside a community.
Do you think sort of this awareness that, I mean, forcing people that into the role of caregiver perhaps before they would otherwise be usually expected to because of, you know, the plague that is AIDS, or AIDS rather, do you think that sort of will help correct the problem over the long term, that people will be aware that you need to be aware of these sorts of things because of the issues that you, that sort of they're forced into this responsibility early, or is that part of the solution?
I think this is the basis of the solution, because if you do not know your enemy, you can't really fight them. Neither can you respond to an issue that you are not committed to. I do not know how I can put it, but if we imagine an international aid agency coming into a home like would normally happen and dropping medicine at the home for the caregiver, the ailing, the last surviving parent, for the family. Well, the parent is on the bed. There's a child in the house. There are children in the house, but these children are depressed. They cannot stand up to take the medicine and the water to give to their mother or father, wherever it is. The medicine will stay there until the caregiver comes again and finds the medicine still unused. So what I'm trying to say is that we have to help the people who are suffering from HIV/AIDS to be able to realize that there is hope for tomorrow. You can stand up and go on. It's not the end of life. And this is like a preparation ground in very many areas. They'll be able, once they are given the spirit to go on and they have been helped to deal with their past, then they stand up, they can do the development, they can take access to the resources that they are being given and use them wisely, and that they can even feel, tomorrow I'm not dying, I have to rise up and go on.
And so there's that, and also there's just focusing on the victim of AIDS, the victims of AIDS that perhaps don't actually have the disease.
Yeah.
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 So you're in Ottawa for a fundraiser this week. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
I think my other colleague, my host, Dr. Susan Fletcher, is in a better position to tell you about the fundraiser because I'm only a visitor.
Oh, okay.
I think she can come on and tell you a little bit about it.
Well, that's perfect. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello, Susan.
Well, I'm a member of the Ottawa Bukunja Ngabo Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And Kathleen, when we asked in, I guess it was around October, we asked Kathleen if she would link us with a village in Kenya. And she immediately responded. She's been, I mean, I think that's one thing about dealing directly with an indigenous, especially somebody like Kathleen, who's head of an indigenous NGO. We suggested something that we wanted, which was a connection with the village, with villagers, and she immediately did it. And so we are getting letters from these people and sending letters and getting their music. We have CDs of their music that we'll be playing at our fundraiser. And and we're trying to learn some of their songs too. But we were looking for what we would do for our first fundraiser, which this is, and decided to do a dinner auction, which will be held at the Elias Center on Thursday, March 29th. We're very fortunate that we're sold out of tickets at this point, and for sure the Kenyan-Canadian community, once they got wind of it, they really came forward, as did many people. All our friends responded. And it's been very heartening getting both approaching people for items to the auction. They were so willing to give items, and we have some very interesting items that we're going to be auctioned. It's been very heartening, the whole event.
That's good. If people wanted to be more involved with your organization, which is Ottawa-based, how would they get involved in contacting you?
I guess they could email me. That's probably the best way. And my email is SusanFletcherIs, all one word, at yahoo.com.
Okay. And for finding more about the Kenya Orphan Rural Development Program, I guess it would be their website?
Yeah.
Which is
www.kordp.org.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and thank you to Miss... make sure that I pronounce that
Kathleen.
Right. Kathleen, Ms. Okacha, thank you very much. This is all very good, and best of luck on Thursday with your fundraiser.
Thank you.
We're going to go to a tune. That was Susan Fletcher and Kathleen Okacha, both of who are involved with the fundraiser this week for the Kenya Orphans Rural Development Program, which goes to assist those that are particularly children and new caregivers that are affected by the AIDS epidemic in Africa. But we're going to play a quick tune, and then we'll come back with some more.